on, Becky. Jump in there. I know you disagree.
Here's the thing. Okay, first of all, I think one of the things that people forget is that in 34 states, it's still legal to fire somebody just because they're transgender or to throw them out of their home that they're renting. It's the same is true for 29 states for gays and lesbians. Now, I would ask somebody, how can you have a great marriage if your right to work, your right to provide for your family, your right to maintain a safe and comfortable home for your family is not protected?
Wow.
You touch my love.
Yeah.
I all recognize right. That voice. Strangely enough.
Yeah, it might
who
be a little
that?
Familiar.
Be in touch, my love.
All right. Hey, everybody. How you doing? It is the Rebecca Giroux Show. Yeah, that was me. I was on HuffPo Live today.
Yeah, she sure was.
That was a clip from that. I was talking. It was actually a good show. We had Margaret Cho on there. Let's see, who else do we have on? You know, it's like you want to say something. Tony Newman was on there. You want to say something, then all of a sudden your brain just goes blank because you know you can't remember your own. But anyway, suffice it to say, I thought it was a good show. It was about a 20-25 minute segment. It was myself, Margaret Cho, John Becker from Truth Wins Out, Tony Newman, as I mentioned.
Tony was great. Yeah, I like Tony on there a lot.
Tony was great. Yeah, she was. I'm pretty sure she's a she. Tony Newman was terrific. Margaret Cho was really terrific. I, you know, it's funny, though, because really what the segment was they were saying, you know, basically, why focus on marriage and there's, you know, more than marriage. And so my editor at HuffPo called me or contacted me last night and said, you know, you're right up the alley for this one. So I said I would do it, of course. And we got on. And the thing is, and this, I guess, bothered me a little bit. There seems to be this presupposition that everything else should be talked about in relation to marriage, which obviously those of you who listen to this show know I think that's bullshit. My argument was pretty much what you heard there at the top during the intro is, you know, marriage is important, but eating and having a safe place to live are more important. That was really where I started from on this, and I think that a lot of people who are wrapped up in this marriage thing, you know, they forget that there are still 29 states where gays and lesbians could be fired from their jobs too.
And we have. I have.
I can't tell you how many times when I published the piece, my recent piece over at the Huffington Post. I can't tell you how many comments I got saying, oh, you're saying it's an either-or proposition.
No.
Well, no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you do it common sense. Which do you think is going to be easier? The one that's going to take 73 separate acts of legislatures in order to accomplish, or the one that takes one act of Congress? Which is going to be easier? I mean, come on, people. Not only that. But if you get people working, if you have people with more money in their pockets, well, then they can go. They can get out from behind their computers. They can go to the Pride marches. They can go to lobby Congress. They can go and do all the things and donate the money and make the appearances and do all the things that you need people to do. But they can't afford it because you don't have the money. I'm not going to go hop on a plane and go to Las Vegas for a convention. I can't afford it. You know, I can't do it. I don't make enough money. I don't make any money right now. I mean, honestly, that's the part of it that people don't get. If you want people active and engaged, you have to give them the means by which to become active and engaged. And I think people are losing sight of that. I mean, what good does the repeal of DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, what good does that do a gay couple in Idaho or Alabama? I mean, it just doesn't. What, the people that it matters to are the people living in the major coastal urban areas where, you know, gay rights and marriage rights and all that stuff has been long since, often in many cases, long since passed, where people are living with basic civil rights. And they're basically saying, well, you know, if you live in Oklahoma or Texas or Idaho or Alabama or Georgia or any of these states, well, tough shit. You know, we care about marriage and we've got the money. So tough luck. You know, we care about getting tax breaks on our income. And so for us, that's more important than your civil rights. Gee, sounds just like the Republicans, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, think about it. What do the Republicans argue? Let's give tax breaks to the rich folks and put it on the backs of the working poor, right?
Heard that one before.
Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same thing that's going on right here. Okay? That's what it is. It's these wealthy people in Washington, D.C., in San Francisco, in New York, in all these coastal urban areas that want theirs now. And if you got to wait as a, you know, as working class, if you got to suffer for several more years while they enjoy their tax benefit, well, that's okay because they got theirs, right? And that's really, when you get right down to it, that's what matters, is that the rich folks get their tax breaks, that they get their benefits, and those of us who are living paycheck to paycheck, hand to mouth, the folks who can't afford to just pick up and move out of Idaho and move to downtown San Francisco, those folks, well, you know, that's not so important, right? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And that's the thing. And what kills me most about this, is that it would be so easy to fix if we just got, let's say, the Human Rights Campaign on board and the task force on board and all the other organizations. They just said, okay, for the next 2 years, this is what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on getting ENDA passed. We're going to focus on making sure that every single LGBT American has the right to work. And you get that done. And then you turn around and say to the trans community, say to the working class community, okay, now we need you to line up for behind us for marriage. Do you think we're going to be better off? Do you think there's going to be that many more people who are going to be able to say, well, now that my work is protected, now that I have a steady job, now that I have an income, now that my partner has an income, now that my children are protected from homelessness and they've got a hot meal on the table every night, now I can decide to get on a plane and go to Washington. I mean, it's just common sense. But the problem is, as always, as just as with the Republicans, the rich folks in Washington, D.C., inside the Beltway, have decided that this is their pet issue, and everyone else can go fuck themselves. That's what it's about. And what's even worse, and I hope she'll forgive me, but I'm going to say it, people, celebrities like Margaret Cho, have bought into this bullshit hook, line, and sinker. Okay? And, you know, I hear this all the time. I heard it from Margaret Cho today, and I'm not trying to bash Margaret Cho. I think she's awesome. I love her. I think she's one of the funniest women on the planet. I think she's one of the funniest people on the planet, for that matter. But when she says, well, you know, gay marriage is a symbol, and, you know, that kind of thing. When I hear that nonsense, I have to call it out, because it's not a symbol. You know what it's a symbol of? It's a symbol of the fact that 31 states have already banned it. They're trying to make this like, oh, it's a mainstream issue. 50% of the population supports marriage equality. Yeah, well, if you don't count any states or any areas of the country other than coastal urban areas and the suburbs around them, well, you know, then you could say that this is a mainstream value. On the other hand, if you also include as part of America, Georgia, Alabama, Texas, Idaho, all these other states where gay marriage is illegal and is highly unlikely to ever become legal, certainly within our lifetimes, if you factor in all those other areas of the country, the other 50%, well, then you know that it's bullshit. That it's not a mainstream value, okay? Because when 31 states have rewritten their constitutions to ban something, It's not a mainstream value. What it means is a lot of the rich urban folks who are living in the urban areas really, really want it. Well, you know what? Other people have rights too, okay? And those people who are living in those states, okay, I can tell you right from now, sitting here in New Jersey where I am fully protected against discrimination, it's hard enough without having to worry about being fired for no reason whatsoever, perfectly legally. And that's what most of the people, most of the gay, lesbian, bi, and trans people in this country face. But these folks are, you know, in New York, where they have full rights for gay people and no rights for trans people whatsoever. In places like Washington, D.C., where all they care about is themselves and how it politically plays, where you get these four-page direct mailings from the Human Rights Campaign that mention marriage 30 times for every one time they mention workplace equality. For that matter, I got one from the task force. They didn't even bother to go through the motions. It was all just marriage, marriage, marriage. They didn't bother to even mention anything else. Okay? This is why. It's because the people with the money have decided that marriage, that taking care of the rich folks and making sure that they get their tax breaks is more important than making sure people can eat and have a safe place to live. That's what it is. It's a political calculation on the part of the Democratic Party, on the part of the Human Rights Campaign, on the part of the task force, on the part of all these gay incorporated activist organizations that said, you know what, fuck those people, we want to go where the money is, so we're going to cater to the gay marriage group because they've got more cash, they'll donate more. That's what's going on here. And I think, you know, if you care about this, you need to join me, you need to call this out. And that's what I was doing on HuffPo Live this morning. I was trying to be the voice. Okay, and you know, Toni Newman, who was also on the show, she was terrific. She didn't get a lot of time to speak, but she was good. What she said was really good. She was agreeing with me. And what it broke down to was Margaret Cho going, marriage, marriage, marriage is wonderful, marriage is terrific. And John Becker, who, to his credit, from Truth Wins Out, to his credit, was also saying that he thought that workplace, you know, and employment are the most important. But yet, what happened was we kept here, the conversation kept turning back to marriage, marriage, marriage. Why? Why? That bothered me. I mean, I thought it was great that they had the conversation. I thought it was great. I got a chance to say my piece. Toni Newman got a chance. John Becker got a chance to say his piece. And Margaret Cho got a chance to say her piece. And I thought I was very happy with that. But I still thought that they were trying to frame everything, the host in particular, was trying to put everything into a frame of gay marriage. And I personally think that's like, it makes no sense. Because that's not what people care about. In fact, there's a brand new poll, and it's part of what inspired this segment. There's a new survey out. And I'll talk about this for a little while. We got Ethan St. Pierre, of course, coming up at the bottom of the hour. So I hope you'll stick around for that. But I thought there was some really interesting stuff. Now, this was a new survey released by Logo. Some of these figures are really interesting. Here's one for you. 49% of the general population would also be more likely to vote for a candidate if he or she supported legislation to define and prevent bullying of LGBT youth, while 41% would favor a political official who would continue to allow LGBT people to serve openly in the U.S. military. Of course, that's not the case. It's a bullshit argument because LGBT people do not serve openly. If you are a T, you are banned by regulation. So this, the premise on which this question is apparently based is false. It's bullshit. They didn't even do their homework enough to realize that transgender people are banned by regulation, denied, considered mentally disordered, and therefore unfit to serve by dint of the fact that they are transgender. Of course, Logo TV, being all about gays and lesbians, apparently didn't bother to do their homework on that one. Basically, what they're saying is that LGBT rights are no longer a wedge issue in American politics. Duh! I mean, Obama came out in front of for same-sex marriage. And where was the big backlash that everyone was afraid of? I didn't see it, did you? Where was this backlash that was supposed to occur when Democrats came out in favor of gay marriage? But yet he still won't sign the executive order to protect federal the employees of federal contractors. He still won't speak out on ENDA. He still won't even mention LGBT employment rights in his Pride Month proclamation or anything else. I mean, I can only reach one conclusion. The guy's a fucking coward. It's the only conclusion I can reach. I mean, it's ridiculous. Let's see this guy show some leadership here. I want some leadership. You want to be my political leader? How about you start leading? Any time now would be okay. You know, you've had 3.5 years. Do you think you could get around to it now? While people need jobs? You know, just a thought. You know, the fact that we have double the national unemployment rate might pick your eye up, you know, just maybe. The fact that kids are committing suicide because they don't see a future for themselves, because chances are in the state that they're in, the odds are that there are no civil rights there to protect them because these cowardly piece of shit Democrats haven't even fought for us when they had everything they needed to get the job done. They went and hid under a rock. So you, gay couple in Idaho, and you, lesbian couple in Alabama, are still completely unprotected under the law because these people don't have any balls. And these are the people who are coming to you saying, you should support the Democratic Party because we're fighting for you. Well, you know what? I say, yeah, show me. Show me how you're fighting for me. Now, going on with this survey, which apparently surveyed a total of 1,367 U.S. voters, reflecting the broader American electorate, and 1,190 self-identified LGBT voters, found that the LGBT population prioritized, wait for it, the same issues of the economy, unemployment, and health care as heterosexuals. Did you see an M word in there anywhere? Anybody? The number one most important issue for LGBT voters was the economy, 18%, followed by unemployment, jobs, 14%. Gay rights in general came in fourth with 9%, while just 6% listed same-sex marriage as their top priority. Mainstream value, my ass. Okay? This is exactly the... It shows you the depth of the big lie from the Human Rights Campaign, from the Task Force, from Gay Incorporated, from all these Beltway insiders who are trying to convince you that gay marriage is really what's most important, when the electorate is telling you that that's bullshit, that we care about jobs first and foremost, just like everyone else. And frankly, I think it's time that celebrities like Margaret Cho stopped reading the advertising and started reading the newspaper. Started actually reading beyond the headlines at the Huffington Post. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But, you know, this frustrates the hell out of me. The polls tell us we're right. The reality that we're living tells us we're right. But these people, you know what it's like? It's just like the Republicans. I'll say it again. Okay? You've got, you know, Sheldon Adelson equals the Human Rights Campaign. The people with the most amount of money are the ones that get their agenda enacted in Congress. That's what's going on here. Another interesting point, 67% of LGBT voters who were polled said that they plan to vote to re-elect Obama, though 1 in 5 said they'd be more likely to vote for Mitt Romney, not that they would, but they'd be more likely to vote for Mitt Romney if he held the same positions on same-sex marriage and other LGBT relevant issues as the president. Interesting, huh? And so I submit to you that it's time, if you care about workplace rights, if that's your issue, if that's what you need from this administration, I say write them. I say call them out on this. That's what I say. I say it's time. Enough with the bullshit. Enough with this gay marriage nonsense. And don't get me wrong. I want to stop myself right there. Because gay marriage is not nonsense. Okay? And I didn't want to convey the impression that I thought it was. Okay? Gay marriage is an important issue. It is an equality issue. It is an issue about equal treatment under the law. I mean, I am not coming out against it. What I am saying is that first you cover food and shelter, then you go for tax breaks. When you go out to marry, you don't plan the marriage, you don't plan the wedding ceremony before you make sure you have a job and a place to live. That's the way it works in the real world, okay? But these folks in Washington, the Beltway insiders, the Chad Griffins and the Ray Carries, they'd like you to forget all of that. They'd like you to forget that same-sex marriage is constitutionally banned in 31 states. They'd like you to think that it's just around the corner because, you know, then you'll send them lots of money. But the reality is that's a lie. It is not a mainstream value. It is well beyond behind workplace rights, where all LGBT people are covered in double the number of states that have same-sex marriage. And if you add the states that only protect gays and lesbians, like New York, that number goes up even higher. See, that's the thing. What the D.C. Beltway organizations want you to believe is they want you to believe, oh, send us same-sex marriage, we're almost there, which is a lie. They're lying to you. And you know what? They're stupid, too. Because if you really want to increase your donations, why don't you work on making sure people have more money to give you in the first place? Why not take care of the easy thing first? Well, because, you know, then that doesn't please the rich folks. Rich folks don't care about jobs. Rich folks don't care about employment rights. Rich folks don't care about, the right to not be thrown out of your home for being trans or gay. They only care about marriage because that's what impacts them personally. They just don't care. And what's even worse is that rather than standing their ground and saying, we stand for everybody, they're giving into it. Anytime you see this advertising, you know it. I mean, I couldn't believe when I got a mailing from the task force, and the single only issue it bothers to mention is marriage. Not a word about workplace rights, not a word about immigration, not a word about anything except rich gay folks saving money on their taxes. That's what it's about. Well, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm not getting on that bus. Not. You want my money? Why don't you help protect my job so I can give you some? Why don't you make it easier for me to find a job? Why don't you make it so that people across this country don't have to live in fear constantly that one day their boss is going to walk in and fire them because they happen to find out that they were gay, because they happen to see them walking down the street holding hands with their husband or wife or partner that night. Why don't you do that? And then when you've done that, then you can lecture me. All right. Well, okay. I think I'm going to calm down here for a minute, and we will mellow out with a wonderful song from Coyote Grace. It's called Trevor, and we will catch you on the flip side with Ethan St. Pierre. Stick around, gang.
words, you're out of the dark, you're out of the night. Step into the sun, step into the light. You won.
Dirty job, but somebody has to do the show. Well,
oh my goodness!
I think we have Ethan on the line now. Knowing how strange this program has been so far on the back end here, I've had a neighbor with a medical emergency across the street, so I've been tending to that and running Becky's show at the same time. But I think we have Ethan on the line, and you would know it would happen when Ethan is on the line. Ethan, are you with us? Is it working? Yes!
I am with you.
There he is.
I'm so glad you're here. It's nice to have you on. You've made me so happy I'm going to cry.
Oh, my goodness. Well, hey, Ethan, so glad you could join us tonight. And, of course, everybody, if by some insane chance you don't know who he is, Ethan, of course, is the host, has been the host of his own show for a lot of years on Trans FM, and is a major activist in the community, and a good buddy, and we're glad to have him on. And hey, how you doing? I wanted to ask you. I know you heard part of the show earlier. What did you think of that conversation that we had about marriage versus employment and that kind of thing on HuffPo this morning?
Well, you know, I did get a chance to listen to it, and I thought that, well, first of all, you made some phenomenal points, and I just have to read this to you because I posted the interview on my Facebook page, the conversation, I should say, and I posted it as Becky Gerlo Takes on Margaret Cho. And one of my good friends, Regina Kleinzeller, who has a blog called Skip the Makeup, she actually posted, she said, "Oh my, can't she just allow the celebrity spokesperson to dominate the conversation? Margaret Cho was on 30 Rock. That means she's obviously right. Those trans women are always taking up too much space." And, you know, the sarcasm, obviously, is there, but... Yeah. You know what? But she's right. And the thing was, the fact that she was challenged, I think, aggravated her. But, you know,
it might have been. I don't know. But, you know, I'll tell you, I can't let that concern me because I have to take the attitude that what I know is right. You know, and I said this earlier on the show. I think Margaret Cho, and I think a lot of celebrities who are not activists within the community, who are just celebrities who do these appearances and things like that, I think they buy into the HRC line that, you know, this is what matters and everything else is subordinate and all this other crap. And
well, they're told with this, that they're told that these are the issues and that this is what's important to people. Because a lot of the times, people that are in that spotlight are so far disconnected from people, from the real people in our community, from the people. And I don't mean to say like they're not real people, but the people that whose lives this affects the most, they're very much disconnected from that. And so they're celebrities. They have issues that. You know, that you and I really don't have, and they're being pulled in 1,000 different directions, and they're told, well, this is the major issue. And you're absolutely right. I heard what you said while you were busy popping a blood vessel, that you know, reading the headlines doesn't cut it. Try reading the news. Try reading, you know, 6% of the people polled want same-sex marriage. And don't forget, and you're right, these are the top rich. These are the.
Well, wait a minute. No. I should correct you there, Ethan. What it said was it wasn't that 6% of the people want same-sex marriage. It's that 6% of the people consider it a primary issue.
Important, right. Think that it's the most important thing. You're right.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I misrepresented that.
Because I don't want people to think that I'm saying
that
gay marriage is
number one.
Of course it is.
Issue. Right.
Yeah. I think that's an important distinction
issue
to make.
And the truth of the matter is, you're right. It's, you know, you're getting right now what you're getting from these organizations and from the people that are supposed to be representing us is the best equality that money can buy.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I mean, look at New York is a great example of that. You know, they had the money for marriage, and so they have the money for marriage. So marriage was what got passed. Trans people don't have the money, so we still have not even any civil rights. We can still be thrown out of our homes and fired from our jobs just for being trans because they have the money and we don't. Yep. So they get the civil rights and they get the attention from the Democratic Party, particularly, although Republicans are guilty of this as well, particularly in New York. Okay, but you know, that's what it is. You know, it's how much justice can you afford to pay for? How big is the payoff for us, the politicians? You know,
well, why would they pay attention to the people that don't have anything? And that's, you know, these are the people that are supposed to be advocating for the people who don't have anything, who don't have equality, who don't have rights, who don't have jobs. These are the people that are supposed to be advocating on our behalf, and instead they're advocating on behalf of the rich, of the elite LGBT people. That's it, period. You know, it's that top 1%. You know, the rest of us are, you know, this is they control the media. It's not like, you know, we get a chance to really talk about how many people are listening to us right now compared to how many people. I'm glad that you were able to do this because Margaret Cho was the draw, but your voice was so important to say, look, not everybody agrees that this is the right thing. You know, same-sex marriage is important. But it's not the top priority. Jobs are the priority.
Exactly. And the other part of the argument, which I've been trying to make, and I think people are either not hearing it intentionally or they're just ignoring it, is that if you get the community working, if you get more money in LGBT pockets, well, then down the road you have a more effective activist force to go for the harder stuff like same-sex marriage. I mean, look at New Jersey. The gay community and the gay and lesbian organizations, particularly Garden State Equality, fought like hell side by side with us to get the transgender rights bill. And now that they are fighting to get marriage in our state, we are lining up behind them. Because that's what you do. We got our goal. We got everybody protected from workplace discrimination and that kind of thing. So now when they come to us and say, we need your help now, we're there for them because they deserve our help. They were there for us.
Right. You look at states like Massachusetts, though, Becky, where when same-sex marriage laws passed here, everybody took their money and ran.
Exactly.
There's nothing here for trans people, for you know, LGBT people here in Massachusetts had every single civil right and left transgender people stranded with nothing. And
exactly.
Even
look at Connecticut, where Love Links a Family, remember them? The organization
that went and
fought for same-sex marriage, and the minute that they got same-sex marriage, they disbanded. Goodbye.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you trans folks still have no rights? So sorry. Bye now.
There was even an article in Bay Windows that was complimenting Mass Equality at the time. I don't think they would name Mass Equality. They would name something else, but it turned into the same organization. And it was, congratulations on same-sex marriage. Now they had this all this money left over. Hundreds of thousands of dollars were left over, and they didn't know what to do with it. They actually posted that in the article. And I'm like, really? Hello, transgender people, youth programs. There's a gazillion things that need to be done here in Massachusetts. And what same-sex marriage, they took their money, and they all went home. And now, this is, you know, getting into a little bit of something else that you were discussing, we finally got employment rights here for transgender people in the state of Massachusetts, and it took a very long time to do that. And, you know, the people that weren't, we have a handful of Republicans in the state house. There's a handful of lawmakers here. That's it, of Republicans. There's really not that many. And it took a long time to get transgender employment rights passed in the state, and yet still without public accommodations.
Yeah.
So who the hell was holding us back? Not the Republicans, because I even went to Republican offices, and a few of them still supported us. So it wasn't even all of the Republicans were not against us.
Yeah.
So the idea that, you know, we're supposed to be one of the most progressive states in the country, and it took us this long to get this done without public accommodations is so friggin' frustrating. And it was the Democrats then that held us back, not the Republicans. So when you getting to what you were saying about, well, we need to support our Democrats. Why? Why?
Right.
You know, what have I done here in the state of Massachusetts, which is one of the most progressive states, supposedly? You know, well, I'm going to put again, that's a nice little soundbite, the most progressive state in the country, when it's not true.
Yeah.
Because certainly it's not protecting their citizens.
Right. And another point that I made on that show, which I think is key, and I think we're going to see it in Massachusetts, I think we already see it in New Jersey and several other states, is that it's not just about getting these laws passed. It's also about making sure they're fairly and completely administrated. I mean, for example, I used was New York City, where they've had a law for a decade. And they just passed guidelines for the police just this couple of months ago.
When you look at some of the places that got their first laws passed, and you look at what the consequences were for not upholding that law, it's laughable. Cambridge, I think, was like a $200 fine if you fired a trans person.
Which is a joke.
It's a joke, exactly. So it's what's the incentive to keep, you know, to implement these laws? And that's the other thing. And I really want to stress this, too, and let's not forget that public accommodations is extremely important. It's not about going to your right to use the correct restroom, although that's part of it, but only a small part. Public accommodations was the first thing that was won when it came to civil rights laws. When it came to the Civil Rights Act of 1964, public accommodations was the first thing that was fought and won. And we lost that. The public accommodations includes doctor's offices. It includes going to the mall, going to any public space. We have been excluded from that here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and that's unconscionable. But any trans person, for any reason, could just get kicked out of a public space because we don't want you here, and it's the law.
Yeah, and that's really what is probably the single most disgusting part about all this, is that, I mean, the way the situation, now, Mara Kiesling swears to me that this is not true, but I wonder what your take is on this, where there's now a situation in Massachusetts where somebody could theoretically say to a trans person, well, yeah, I'll hire you, but you can't use our bathroom. You're going to have to go to the gas station down the street if you want to pee.
Well,
is that legal?
No, it's not. And it's not under the employment aspect. However, if, say, that trans person works at a McDonald's, I'm just using them as an example. This might not be true for McDonald's.
Sure. Okay.
But say a trans person works there, they have the right to use the public restroom. I mean, the restroom at the. However, if they go in as a patron, they do not have the right to use the correct restroom.
Interesting.
So, and don't forget that a lot of the times we are employed, the employees' restrooms aren't the same as the public restroom.
True.
So there's that. But if you go into that, say, that same restaurant on your off day, you do not have the right to use the correct restroom.
Right. And you could theoretically, in the same way as I'm sure you remember, Ethan, when we were in Washington, D.C., and we were staying in Maryland, this happened, where you could go into a restaurant and be refused service.
Oh, yes, a restaurant, a nightclub. This happened to, a friend of mine, and I say that we argue all the time, but yeah, I can still consider her my friend. She's been kicked out of clubs. because she was she's a cross-dresser, still has a male picture on her photo identification and a male name, is not transitioning, but should have the right to dress any way she friggin' wants to, and has been denied access to nightclubs, to restaurants. It's just been insane. You know, the idea that she can't just go into a restaurant and sit down and eat, and she looks really good. It's not like she's, you know, outlandish, or it doesn't even matter. It shouldn't matter. But she's not like an attention drawer, I should say.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean? It's not. She can go into any place and fit in fine, but the idea that, and you know what, I cringe when I hear myself say that. It shouldn't matter anyway. But the idea that she's been kicked out of places, because she's been ID'd, and because a lot of clubs, well, they have to ask for your ID no matter how old you are or how old you look or whatever, and she showed them their ID, her ID, and they're like, we don't want you in here.
Right. You see, now, for me, I've never seen that except for that one time in Maryland. And maybe that's because, you know, I live in New Jersey, and this I haven't experienced it. I'm not really much of a club goer, to be honest. So, you know, but I can also, you know, that's the kind of thing. That's what Massachusetts law allows. And, you know, what kills me most about that is, you know, these people who are running around, Joe Salmanis, the former president of the Human Rights Campaign, was doing this when he was still in charge, going around calling this equality. That's not equality. Well, I mean, when a gay person can walk into a bar and the law says that they have to be treated equally and fairly, but a trans person can walk into that same bar and be told, we don't want you here, get out. That's not equality.
Well,
it's just not.
To be fair, one of the issues is too, if you're a gay person and you walk into a bar, you're not necessarily clocked as being a gay person, gay or lesbian. However, if you go in with your partner and say you hold hands, you might be having a romantic evening, and you know that, in Massachusetts, of course, you cannot be thrown out for that. But there are states where you still can.
Yes.
That's not equality. But here in Massachusetts, absolutely. If you're holding hands with your partner, or you display any type of public affection, that's okay. But to just walk into a place and be visibly trans, you could absolutely be thrown out here in Massachusetts.
Exactly, and that to
but
me...
But it wasn't the Republicans that did that, that allowed that to happen, because we have a majority in the state legislature that is Democrat. They did that.
I
want to stress that.
Yeah, and that's my point exactly, and that's what the point I keep making on this show all the time, is that in their own way... the Democrats are exactly like the Republicans. It's the only difference is who they're getting their funding from, who they're catering to. Republicans.
The only difference is Republicans will say it out loud and Democrats keep it to themselves.
But that's only part of it. That's only part of it. The other part is that the Republicans cater to big business, they cater to the super wealthy, and they do so unashamedly. Whereas the Democrats cater to big business, they cater to the super wealthy, and they just don't talk about it. They just do it.
Right. They just do it.
They're
exactly.
doing exactly the same thing.
It's more spineless to me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, don't forget, we're talking about, in the case of ENDA, a bill that's been around since I was in my 20s, you know, and we got as close as a single vote back in the 90s, and they just... You know, they leapfrog over it because, you know, that's what the people with the money want. And that's what they care about. It's not how much, not what matters, not what would make the most amount of impact on LGBT lives, not what will save jobs, not what will protect families, but what generates the most profit and privilege and job security for congressional Democrats. That's what's really going on.
Let's not forget the bigger picture. We're all supposed to be Americans and all supposed to have the same opportunities, and we don't.
Yeah. Oh, not by a long shot. I mean, as I said, we have one of the strongest transgender rights laws in the country here in New Jersey. And I can tell you that it ain't helping much right now. Once somebody figures out I'm trans, the job offers vaporize.
What's the consequence, Becky, if you lose your job because you've been discriminated against? What's the consequence?
Well, that's the problem. The consequence is for you, as the person who's been discriminated against, you lose your job, you lose your income, you lose your way to support yourself. If you're the company that did the discrimination...
And then you have to prove it in a court of law.
That's exactly what the point I was getting to, is that if you're the company, you're protected by the law.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's the person who's been discriminated against that has to prove their case, not the other way around.
Right. And don't forget that New Jersey, as well as Massachusetts, is also it's a no-fault state. Well, not a no-fault, that's a choice. But if you get fired, you can be fired from your job for no reason whatsoever.
Yes.
They can just say, we don't want you here. But the fact of the matter is, they don't ever do that. They blatantly, to your face, will tell you, we don't want you here because you're transgender.
Well, see, that's the thing. Here in New Jersey, that's not how it works. I have been fired from at least three different jobs with exactly that way, where they've just said, you know, we're cutting staff, so thanks, but don't come in next week. You know, and they won't say. Absolutely, because of course there's a law here. I can turn around and sue them. That's exactly what they'll say. They'll say, we're having a layoff. I was working for one company. They told me, oh, they're having a layoff. Well, you know what? I had friends on the management staff at that company that I worked for. They showed me the memo. Yeah, there was a layoff, all right. A one person made a layoff.
Yeah,
that's how they do it. Yeah, it was me. Because the guy who was our district manager was this older guy who was from the head office in Arizona, had his own particular attitude, was friends with every single person who worked in our store, except me. Me, he never spoke to the entire time I was there. And then magically, a few weeks later, I'm out of a job.
Oh, well, you know, that's the way that I was fired was actually at that time, don't forget it was still legal to fire a transgender person in Massachusetts. I got called into the office, and he said, "We're giving you a 2-week notice," as if he was doing me a favor by giving me 2 weeks that I was allowed to work there. How privileged did I feel? I was allowed to work there for 2 weeks, and at the end of that 2 weeks, I had to find another job. And he said, "Well, you know, it's because the people upstairs, as he put it, uncomfortable with your transition." And think that you no longer can do your job. And that was perfectly legal for them to do that at that time. Now think about all the other states here.
Yeah. Go continue your thought. I want to say something after.
I was going to say, consider all the states here in the United States that don't have protections for transgender people. Or for LGBT people, for that matter. And I think I know you were going with this, you know, how much harder it is to pass laws for same-sex marriage than it is to protect to laws for LGBT people in employment. And to make those laws something that's enshrined, that's written in stone. Look, when I sit in the lunchroom at my place of employment and you see the poster on the wall that said it's illegal to be discriminated against because of age, sex, you know, blah, 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 religion, and on, we need to have it codified into law that says whether you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. It needs to be right there in that poster that you're looking at so that all employers and employees know that it's not right that you are singled out and your job, your livelihood is taken away from you. Because I got to tell you, right now, the way that it seems to me that with so many people in our community being murdered, And when I said this, I mean it. For a transgender person to lose their job, it can be a death sentence.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, Ethan, can you, we got to go to a break. Can you stick around after the break and we'll pick this up on the other side?
Yes. I'm sorry, I just keep yammering.
That's okay. I was letting you finish your thought. We have got a group I know you're familiar with because you play them on your show all the time, the Scissor Sisters, from their new album, The Year of Living Dangerously. So we will catch you guys in a couple. Stick around, more Ethan St. Pierre coming up.
Of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims' pride, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true.
Q1.
And we're talking with the ever amazing Ethan St. Pierre. Another thing I wanted to talk to you about, Ethan, was I know you put something up on Twitter earlier today, and I thought this was really interesting. What it seems now is we're, as a community, the trans community, is coming under attack from the right wing. I think they figured out they've losing the battle with gays and lesbians, so they're coming after us. So they've got these anti-trans ads that are coming out, and I was wondering, you know, what you thought about this. I mean, should we take this? I'm almost half inspired to like take this as a compliment that they think we're important enough to attack, you know. But yet, on the other hand, we're being attacked. So I don't know. Where do you come down on this?
Well, you know, if you look at hate groups and you go to the Southern Poverty Law Center and you look at all the hate groups that are listed and why they're listed as hate groups, you know, when you target a group of people that aren't doing anything to harm you, that aren't doing anything that's illegal or even harmful to anybody else on this. I don't understand why somebody that targets us and targets transgender people and says that this is who we are, and considering the idea that we are being murdered at an alarming rate globally, why the groups of people that target us aren't considered hate groups? Yeah. You know, I think the teabaggers should be considered hate groups for, you know, concerning LGBT people and women. And cisgender women, period, because there's obviously this war. We're not the only ones being targeted, but it's. I think that it's systemic in our society, especially in the United States, that there's a misogyny, a growing misogyny. So this, I'm not surprised that transgender people are now being targeted, considering that cisgender women have been targeted recently in ad campaigns all over the country and globally. So why not transgender people?
Well, you know,
it's hate and misogyny. That's really what it's with the core.
I agree with you because it seems like, and we've talked about this before, but it seems like the focus is always on, oh my God, a trans woman might walk into the bathroom with your daughter or your sister. Nobody ever talks about the flip side of that, which is a transgender man may walk into the bathroom with your daughter or sister. For some reason, that's not a problem.
Well, you know, the laws in this country are really funny. And one of them, and I point to these things all the time, is that, you know, you can have a very dangerous intersection, and until people, and a certain amount of accidents happen and people get killed there, before they actually put up a stoplight. And this is one of the things. It's very dangerous right now for trans men. And states that say that trans men have to use the ladies' room. If you want to be a law-abiding citizen and go into and use the ladies' room, which they're telling you to do, it's making it illegal for me as a trans man to use restrooms across the country
But let's be honest, Ethan. Most trans men.
But here's the thing.
Aren't going to have that issue.
Right, trans men pass. I understand this. But it's very well, you know, it's cisgender males. So the idea, though, is that if I am not allowed by law, and I follow the letter of the law, to use the men's room here in most cities in the state of Massachusetts, cities and towns, especially even the city I live in Haverhill, I cannot, by law, walk into a men's room and use the men's room. However, if I did follow the letter of the law, but I use the ladies' room, now there's these people that are in there, and now they have to explain to their young children why I'm in there looking the way that I do, why there's a man in the ladies' room and why that's okay. Not only is that going to make it uncomfortable for some people to explain to their children why, but it also invites people that look like me, that are cisgender men, that actually are predators. It invites them into the ladies' room unchecked.
Yeah.
And that's the issue. The issue isn't ever that transgender women are going to harm somebody in a public restroom. It's the idea that by not allowing laws to pass with public accommodations included, invites violence towards women. That's what happens. It actually invites that.
I totally agree.
You know, because let's face it, and one of the things that I know living most of my life as presenting as female, is that, yeah, it's you know, it can be a very scary world out there. And that women do get raped in public restrooms. That absolutely does happen.
But it doesn't happen by trans women.
No. Trans women, no. And there's a number of reasons why we could really get into that, but it's the simplicity of it is this. You know, you take some guy that's following some girl around because he thinks that, you know, he has these urges, whatever those things may be. He's not going to take the time to go shopping in Bloomingdale's for that special dress and wig and shoes to make him look like that great gal to go into the ladies' room and attack her. That's not going to happen, number one. Number two, nobody's waiting. None of these perverts that do these horrifying things to women are going to wait around for a law to get passed because it's a misdemeanor in some states. In some states, it's not even a law at all that the opposite sex can't use the opposite sex bathroom. But even in the states that it is illegal, it's a misdemeanor. So they're waiting for a law to pass to avoid a misdemeanor so that they can commit a felony by attacking women. That makes no sense at all.
Yeah. Right. But the problem is that the hate mongering makes it credible in the eyes of enough people.
They target they target mothers. The hate-mongering is your little girl is going to be subject to this. And it's like, wow. You know, first of all, how many mothers don't take their little girls into the bathrooms with them? And the other thing is, which is the biggest wow, is transgender people are being targeted as being perverts all in of itself. So the idea that that Massachusetts, it's a slap in the face to transgender people everywhere. When the state of Massachusetts, or the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, I should say, did not allow public accommodations into their non-discrimination law, because what it says is that, well, you know, yeah, we think that you can be able to work, but we still think you're all perverts. You know, so, and it's like, really? And the biggest argument was, oh, no, no, we're not afraid of you. We're afraid of the people that might dress like you in order to do this. But when you, you know, but
show me the evidence. You know? Show me the arrest reports. Show me where this has happened.
And all of the places, Becky, that have had laws passed that include public accommodations, there has not been one, not one incident where a transgender person has attacked a cisgender woman in the ladies' bathroom. Not one.
Yeah, exactly my point. My point exactly. They have yet to show even one of these situations where it's actually happened, but yet somehow the protections still make it into the law in one of what's supposedly one of the most liberal states in the country.
The people that are making the laws, first of all, still believe that this is who we are, even though we've gone through painstaking. We have done everything we possibly can do to educate people about who transgender people are. We've gone through everything that we can possibly do. And you know, it's like I said, why aren't these people then being targeted as hate groups, like the teabaggers? And you know what? I'm reluctant to say this, but I'm almost there to say, well, and even our own Democratic Party. You know, these are people that we vote for, that we've been on their side, we've been helping them, and what really have they done for us? I can tell you that in the state of Massachusetts, this is what we got.
Right. I mean, I said on the show last week that you know, if Democrats spent as much as a tenth of the time doing for us as they spend asking us to do for them, ENDA would be law by now.
Well, you know? And yes. Yes, sure.
I mean, really.
You know,
they have no problem
that.
Asking us to do for them, but when it's time for them to do for us, well, then all of a sudden they don't have any time. Oh, we ran out of time. We can't be bothered. We're too busy pandering to rich gay people over marriage to be bothered with the likes of you. You know, I mean, that's basically what it boils down to. Yeah, we'll hold a hearing, but don't expect us to actually do anything about it. You know,
they're going to sit there and yawn and look at us like we're all crazy people.
Well, it's. I mean, they're just following Obama's lead. I mean, here's a guy, he goes out and says, I'm personally okay with same-sex marriage, but he never at any time does he say, I'm going to help you get this. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to use my influence to you know, help you accomplish this goal. You know, which he did say in 2007 in an op-ed that was distributed through LGBT media, where he said, I'm going to help you fight for ENDA. He did nothing. Nothing. Zero. And then he comes back,
Becky,
and he says, oh, you can trust
me. President to say the word transgender. You should be grateful. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, exactly. I think the bar is set just way too low. You know, the days when we should be happy because Barack Obama happens to mention the word transgender. No, I'm sorry. That's not enough. You have to actually do something.
It was great that he did that. And no other president had ever done that. But that is a bar that is set way too low, especially since we are still American citizens. We should be able to be a part of every part of this America, not just the part that's not just the crumbs that fall from somebody's table. That's it. You know, that shouldn't be all that we accept. You know what I love about you, Becky, is that you don't accept just the minimal amount that's given to you. You want all of it, and so don't I. And
of course I
think
I do.
That every transgender person needs to just please consider. You know, I know that when we first come up, there's that shame and guilt issue, you know, but that's it's over. That's it. We deserve everything else that every single American gets. Go out and fight for it and be proud. And, yes, this is who we are. Deal with it. Get over it. We are American citizens who deserve the other things that all American citizens are afforded. And that's the right to work, the pursuit of happiness. And right now, we're not afforded that. How can we be afforded the pursuit of happiness when we can't even, when we're not allowed to obtain jobs? Because people can still target us and fire us for that.
Exactly. Exactly. And so my attitude is that when you're trying to make it equality, they were trying to cast it, oh, we have equality in New York now. It's like, no, you don't.
No, you don't. Yeah.
Because every marriage that involves a transgender person is still at risk because they have no civil rights. So you can't call it equality. You can call it marriage parity with heterosexuals. Yeah, all right. But equality? No. Not as long as some people are protected but others aren't. And that's exactly the point that the Human Rights Campaign and the Task Force and all these other organizations, they want to gloss over. You know, they're hoping you're not going to...
should not be included in same-sex marriage issues unless you are a gay or lesbian person. If you're not a gay or lesbian and you're a transsexual person, your identity should be, and you live in a state specifically, and there's only a few in this country that doesn't allow you to change your birth certificate. You should be either in a heterosexual marriage, or if you're gay, then fine, you're still fighting for that. But, you know, the idea is also our identities have come in question because of this fight. And I'm not saying that, I'm not blaming gays and lesbians in the fight for same-sex marriage, but they fail to understand that our identities are extremely important to us. We have fought tooth and nail to be considered our male or female selves, and that the idea that our male or female selves, the idea that okay, well, you know what, a same-sex marriage would just cure all of that, and it doesn't. Because I want to be accepted as a guy, you want to be accepted as a woman, and then you get to marry whoever the fuck you want. You know, you can fight for a same-sex marriage if you want to, if that's what your sexual identity is, but the idea or gender identity is a little bit different, and they're still lumping it together, and it's not the same thing.
Right, exactly. And that, you know, I'll tell you, that to me, that is on the mainstream media folks who are doing this. That's what I think. I think if you're going to take on an issue, any issue, on the air, on a radio show, on the blogs, on any public media, that you have an obligation to know what you're talking about before you open your mouth.
They don't have transsexual people or transgender people on the air talking about who we are. They have gays and lesbians talking about who transgender and transsexual
exactly
people.
The problem. I mean, you look at the Melissa Harris Perry. They had Mara, which is fine. They had Kate Bornstein, yep, who was great. And then they had this guy, this wishy-washy trans man who's running for New York City Council. The guy, I mean, he couldn't express an opinion on anything. He was too busy singing Kumbaya, we should all work together. And it's like, do you live in the same city as the rest of us? You know, I mean...
Well, no, because he was running for office. That was his agenda. And I was aggravated. You know, he had an agenda and it wasn't ours. That was it. He had an agenda and it wasn't ours.
It wasn't anybody's. He didn't voice a single constructive opinion on anything. Nope. That was what killed me. It's like you're a trans man. You have an opportunity to speak on behalf of trans people, and you're totally throwing it in the toilet. And that was what was more annoying. It's like I wanted to say, you know what? Get somebody in there who's going to talk issues, not this wishy-washy guy who's giving these bland, nothing political answers to every single question.
Right. Exactly.
You know, that was frustrating for me. Here's your opportunity, and you're squandering it.
Right. And that's, anyway. You know, and that's, it's mainstream media. And any time that we get that opportunity, voice it, just like you did. I thought that was freaking great, to be honest with you. And,
wait, in the show, the HuffPo thing?
Yes, the Huffington Post, yes.
Okay.
And that was great. That's pretty mainstream. I know that it's not Channel 5 News or... ABC News, yeah, that's ABC News.
It's okay, Channel 5 is Fox, so don't feel bad.
no, yeah, see, here, and that's where I live, it's ABC News. But it's you know,
please,
you have somebody that, you know, I'm glad that Regina Kleinzeller commented on this and said what she did. In her snarky way, you know.
Well,
that,
why don't we tell people what she...
Can't just allow a celebrity spokesperson to dominate the conversation.
Right.
And it's like, you know, yeah, I'm glad that we had a trans person there. And kudos to Huffington Post for allowing your voice to be there.
Yes!
And that's what it is, allowing. Because believe me, Becky, there's it's not... Definitely, I never feel like it's all right to be there.
But I just want to say this for the record, because, you know, I can't speak for anyone else, but I can speak for myself. And I will tell you that when I got in touch with the editor of Gay Voices, and I got into a discussion with him about stuff, and, you know, I wound up becoming a blogger for HuffPo Gay Voices because of that. And I have to give them credit. They have been nothing but accommodating, asking me to publish more work, to get my voice out there. They went out of their way to put me on the show today. I have nothing, no complaints whatsoever about the way they handled it.
And that's been... I wanted to make sure that's clear.
They've been absolutely terrific.
I agree. Yeah. And let's, you know, that's the idea that... And don't forget, you know, we are a hot topic right now.
Yes.
You know, it's pretty acceptable, and I shouldn't say that because that's not always true. But, you know, there's no shocker anymore. Somebody comes out as gay, it's like, okay, you know, and so what are we having for dinner? But, you know, trans is the shocker. It's the new shocker. And so
that's
the thing in the media right now. But we have to put our best foot forward, and you have. And I really appreciate that.
Dude, I'll turn that right back on you, okay? Because you've been doing a show, I mean, although you're not on the air right now, but you've been doing a show for over 10 years.
8 years.
8 years. I mean, you know, you're part of that as well, okay? And so, you know, let's not discount the fact that this has always been an evolution, a team effort. You know, you've been doing stuff, I've been doing stuff, Marty Abernathy's been doing stuff. I mean, so many people have participated in getting us to this point through the LGBT media, and now we're finally starting to see. My concern is a little bit, is that the people who we're starting to see emerge in mainstream media, for the most part, are people who I don't think necessarily portray our community, I won't say fairly, but accurately. You know, I mean, Mara's always great because I think Mara, she's very good at what she does. She's well-versed, and she puts on a good presentation. But we also get people who are also good, and also, but they're like so perfect and so beautiful that they lead to the illusion that all of us, all trans women, are like that. People like Janet Mock, who's terrific. People like Jenna Talakova.
I see what you're saying. That doesn't accurately portray all of our great spectrum of transgender people. There are people in our community that you know, that don't necessarily, and I hate to use this word, but I'm going to just for the sake of ease of understanding, that don't always pass. as male or female, but that, you know, are visibly trans. Those are never the people that are portrayed in the media. Never.
Right. And that's what I think we need more of. We need more people who look, well, like me. You know, I mean, I'm not perfect.
We need people that push the envelope. We need people that are like, that are genderqueer-ish, or people that, you know, the person that's just starting out at 50 years old who has to, you know, that's the people's voices. These are our voices. They're all our voices. And I'm not saying that they you know, everybody should be articulate that's on the air and that does this stuff, and sometimes I'm just not. But the idea that at least I can express, I think, the voices of our community and say, you know, look, we're not all perfect. We don't all look like this. We're not. You know what I loved about Margaret Cho? She didn't have makeup on. Look at that video. She doesn't look perfect. She doesn't, you know, and I'm not trying to critique her in any, like, horrifying way, because I'm not, you know what I mean? It's just she didn't go on the air with makeup on and all this stuff and make herself look all, you know, blah, blah, blah. This is Margaret Cho. Good for her.
Yeah, absolutely.
I actually am very happy that she did that instead of doing something that was fake or phony.
I agree.
I think that every person that was on there was real. We need more real people.
Right.
That's what you're saying, right?
We need more absolutely. Real people. We need more real, like the kind of trans people you're going to meet in the street, not the kind of people who you're going to see on television. You know, we don't all look like Jen.
You know, the media, the Cindy Crawfords, whoever, I don't even know who is up there now, but, you know, it's just, you know, they're not the real people.
Even no, I don't know if I'd go that far. They are real people.
Don't portray our...
They make us look like, you know, when you see somebody like Janet Mock, who's so beautiful and so well-spoken, and, you know, I think that's one image. But you can't equate that, you know, and generalize. And I think there's a danger of that. And I think they need to, the American public needs to know us in all our diversity. And that means that some of us, you know, look a little different. And some of us, and we're not all beautiful, and we're not all... perfect examples of womanhood or manhood, and those folks need to get on the air too.
Yes, there are people's voices that deserve to be heard, and you're right. You know, Janet Mock, she's gorgeous, but it's, you know, she's not the everyday woman,
right? Exactly,
community.
She's not what. When you encounter a trans woman, when the average person encounters a trans person, they're not going to look like Janet Mock. They're just not.
No.
And so I think that's part of the problem, is we need to, you know, really demonstrate the diversity of this community. And that means people like me, people like you.
That's the problem that women, cisgender women, have had for a long time as well. You know, again, not everybody looks like a supermodel. And when you really go out into society and you just look at people around you, you know, women have all different shapes and sizes of bodies. And so don't men. Not all men look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, men have different shapes and sizes. And this is an issue that we've been fighting, I think, as the masses. And it's the masses versus the media.
Exactly.
The media tells us what's beautiful. The media tells us what's acceptable. The media tells us everything. And people pay so much attention.
Hey, exactly. Hey, Ethan, we got to go to another break. It's the bottom of the hour. You want to stick around?
Sure. If you'll have me, that's fine.
Well, you know? Yeah, I think we could manage, especially since you're such a damn good guest and you keep entertaining the nice people. So why don't we – we're going to go – to a quick break. What do we have? Laura Jean Grace, the lovely and talented Laura Jean Grace. Spit it out, Becky. And as soon as I scroll down here, oh, and Against Me, Back Together Again from the new CD, and we will be back in five. We'll catch you in a couple, gang.
One. We'll be right back.
1.
Rebecca Giroir Show, thanks for sticking around. Video killed the radio star. I love that song. I love that song. That, did you know that that was the first video ever played on MTV?
Oh, really?
Yeah, very first one. Very cool. So, hey, we're talking with Ethan St. Pierre. We're talking issues. We're talking politics. We're talking all kinds of good stuff. And, you know, one of the things I thought this was interesting, and I saw this. I knew we were having Ethan on, so I figured I wanted to hit him with this one and see what his, get his thoughts on this. They're in Winnipeg, Canada, Winnipeg. A transgender father says that he's been banned from becoming a leader of a breastfeeding support group because a man cannot take the role under the group's policy. And I thought this was amazing because this is obviously a female-to-male trans man, gave birth to his son, and he's been breastfeeding using a supplemental feeding tube, it says here. And basically, this guy, Trevor McDonald, was told that a man cannot become a leader in this group. Which, to me... You know, if you don't take the time to examine it on the surface, it makes sense, you know, if the group is all breastfeeding women. But obviously we know that all people who breastfeed are not women. So I was wondering, Ethan, what you thought of that?
Well, I think that that trying to become a part of a group of women, if you identify as male, is wrong. And maybe he should start a group of breastfeeding men, because I know that he's not the only trans man that has given birth. And I'll bet you anything, not the only trans man that's given birth in Canada. So, you know, I don't agree on encroaching on other people's spaces. I don't. I just don't do that. If you're identifying as a man, then you shouldn't be trying to insinuate your way or, you know, push your way into women's space. Period.
I understand your point.
You're a man who breastfeeds. Now, maybe you could petition the group and allow men in, but you can't say that I deserve to be there because I breastfeed too. It's not right.
Sorry. Okay, I can understand that, but let's be honest. You suggested that he should start his own group, but are there really enough trans men who breastfeed their own children that there could even be a group?
To bond with other people who breastfeed.
Well, that's my point, though. Is it more important that we're talking about breastfeeders, or are we talking about a group that's traditionally associated with women?
Okay, and that's fine, traditionally women. But again, I've seen this over and over again where trans men just, they want the privilege of being a man, but still want to be part of lesbian groups or women's groups or whatever. And I understand breaking the barrier. Go right ahead. Do that. You know, maybe you can, petition the group to say, look, not only women are the ones that breastfeed. That's something else. But to say that you want to be part of a woman's group and identify as a man I just don't see the value in that. However, if it's just about breastfeeding, like you're saying, and that's something that, well, you know, maybe they need to open up their minds a little bit, and that not only women breastfeed, sure. But I get aggravated when I see men trans men specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that really went up my ass was here in Massachusetts, there's Smith College, which is an all-women's college where trans men have transitioned there, and they're like, yay, they accept transgender people, but they don't accept trans women at the Smith College.
Right. So they really, you know, I mean, to me, that's kind of offensive.
I have little issues with all of these things. However, you know, I think that I see what you're saying. You know, after I'm talking through it on the air, but I'm talking through it. And you know, it, traditionally, women, space, blah, 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 blah. As long as he's not trying to say, this is where I belong in women's space, but trying to change their policy and saying that not only women breastfeed and have them open their minds to that, fine.
There's a quote, actually, in this article, and I'm going to read it. This is from Trevor McDonald, who's the guy we're talking about, and he says, at the time the policy was written, the authors assumed that men wouldn't breastfeed, so they defined the leader as a woman. And he also said, I kind of doubt that many people envisioned my own scenario. I think the interpretation of the policy should evolve. So, do you agree with that?
He's got a point. Yep, I see. No, and I do, and I understand that. It's just, I get, and I agree with him, then. I really do, and I agree and support him wholeheartedly. That's, you know, that maybe they should just change their policy because they believe that only women are able to breastfeed and that men cannot. And maybe they have to open their minds and understand that first of all, they'd have to accept him as a man and not, you know, as a woman, which, on the other hand, on the flip side of the coin, when you look at places like Smith College, who all of a sudden is, oh, yeah, we accept transgender people, and they don't, because if they did, they'd accept trans women, and trans men shouldn't be going there. If you identify as a man, you shouldn't be going to an all-women's college.
Well, I see, that's the thing. My attitude towards a policy like that is it's offensive on its face because the presumption is that if you're a trans man, well, you're a quote, and I'm making scare quotes here, although people can't see it, that you're, quote, really a man, a woman, and that a trans woman wouldn't be allowed to enroll because they're, quote, really a man.
Really a man. And that was the problem that I had with a Georgetown University basketball player who was playing on the women's team.
Oh, Kai Allams, right?
You remember that, right?
Kai Allams, I think his name was.
Yeah, but
I don't even remember what his name was.
But I got so pissed off because it's like they don't accept trans women on that team. They're accepting you because you're a good player. Number one, and they still see you as a woman, no matter how you see yourself.
Well,
this is how they see you.
I think it's
playing on female teams, unless you want to try to make it co-ed, fine. Stop trying to get involved with women's stuff, unless you're trying to change policies like this guy is trying to do, and I get that.
Well, then, how would you feel, for example, about, we talked about, Recently, in Olympics, there was a hammer thrower who was in the women's hammer throw, and it was a trans man, but who had not taken hormones specifically so he could be allowed to compete as a woman in the Olympics. And, you know, if he goes on testosterone, well, that's a steroid, and that would disqualify him from all amateur.
Disqualify him anyway, because no women or men are allowed to, or men are allowed to take steroids.
Exactly. So
you wouldn't be allowed to compete anywhere at that point.
But that's my point, is somebody like that who's in that situation where it's like you either compete steroid-free, testosterone-free, or you don't compete at all, you know, how do you parse that?
What does that do to our community when you have somebody going, you know, well, I'm just going to do this? You know, the people in our community make a lot of sacrifices to be who we are.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that we should have to, because we shouldn't. But the idea that, all right, well, just for today, I want you to accept me as a woman so that I can do this one thing that I love to do. You know what? I'm sorry. No. If you identify as a man and you're saying that you're a man, you should not. I don't give a fuck if you're taking steroids or not. You shouldn't be allowed to be part of a woman's team or a men's team, vice versa.
I tend to agree. I tend to agree. Right? I tend to agree. But nevertheless, I mean, we see
the black community look as though, see, we you know, that whole placating thing. We believe you. We know that you, this is how you identify, but we know who you really are. That does that. That does that for all of us.
I agree. I mean, I said similar thing when, and I took some flack over this, when I suggested that when Megan Stabler, who's on the board of the Human Rights Campaign, got married in Texas as a man, legally as a man, in order to marry her partner, that was a renouncing of transgender identity, and that it has to
mean
something.
You can't just flip-flop
whenever it's convenient.
And a major organization. I was furious that she did that. I cannot tell you how mad I was.
I was disappointed.
She's a woman who is like, okay, well, you know, she could have gone anywhere to get married.
Well, not anywhere, she could have gone to any of eight different states, certainly. You know, the only way that, you know, if you insist on living in Texas, well, this is what you get when you go to Texas. You know, I mean, if you really care about that, if you care about your identity, move to New York, move to Massachusetts, move to any one of six other states. Not yet.
We're not
legal in New Jersey yet.
Anywhere else but Texas. And you know what? Fine. You know, you got a lucrative job there. Great. Then there are other things. You can go. You can come to Massachusetts and get married and move back to Texas.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're going to be no better off.
But it's going to be recognized. At least if you get married in Massachusetts, it's still recognized. It's a recognized marriage. They recognize, you know, so you still...
You know where you save money? You save money on taxes.
The deal is... Oh, that's right. Texas doesn't recognize marriages from other states. Massachusetts does.
Well, you see, that's the thing. So if you live in Texas, what's going to happen is you're going to have to file your taxes as a single person, regardless of whether you're married or not. Whereas in Massachusetts, if you're married, you can file jointly, even though the state, the federal law will still make you file single.
Unless you got married before you transitioned.
Yeah. Unless you got, yeah, exactly. Well,
then you can file federally and state, and nobody's even questioning that because they don't want to deal with it.
Sure, because that gets you into real trouble. You know, and they don't even know how they would write a law to prevent that. So they're just not going to go there.
Well, and the idea that she did that, you know, she could have done that. You know what? I respect whatever anybody wants to do. And if Megan wanted to do that, good for her. That's her right. But she's representing our community at the Human Rights Campaign, which is the largest LGB organization, small t, and in the United States.
Well, come on, don't forget, they don't handle trans people who speak their mind very well. Look what happened to Donna Rose. You know, I mean, they don't handle. They want
Donna
trans
Rose.
People who shut up and do
what
they're
told. What happened to Allison Robinson?
Yeah, well, I was trying to get her on the show. All of a sudden, she vanished. Funny how it was at the same time that Diego Sanchez vanished as well. You know, all of a sudden, certain trans people who are involved with these organizations and with the Democratic Party and people like that, they don't want to talk to us anymore because, you know, we're inconvenient. We take their words and we replay them on the air and question them. You know, they don't want to have that. They don't want to, you know, have their words parsed and say, you know, well, what does this really mean?
Well, you know, the thing is, if you want to be a representative of our community and work for one of these organizations or be on the board of directors of one of these organizations, if you want to take all the credit, you have to also understand that there's going to be scrutiny involved. And then you have to answer for that. And there has never been an answer for any of this stuff. None of it. There's no reason. You know, I saw what happened to Donna. You're right. I saw what happened to her. She questioned them, and then she was gone. She left on her own. Good for her.
Yes, absolutely. But they didn't handle it. I mean, they kept her out of the loop. You know, basically they treated her like a hanger-on. And, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, I think Donna did exactly the right thing. So now they got themselves a trans woman, so they can say they have a trans woman on the board, but she doesn't stand up for herself. She doesn't stand up for her community. She shuts up and does what she's told. And that's exactly the way the Human Rights Campaign wants it. They want trans people who shut up and get quiet.
With Alison Robinson, who works, who's an employee of the Human Rights Campaign. You know, I saw her tweet. She used to tweet stuff and be a presence. Regardless, that it might not have been about HRC or what she was doing as an activist. Some of it was about shoe shopping or as a parent or any of those things. But she was still very visible. And now there's nothing. There's silence. There's nothing from any trans person from any major organization. You know, Lisa Moté, who's not trans, but very much an advocate of our community from the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, used to see quotes from her all the time in the media, all the time. And now, nothing. Silence.
Yeah. Well, our from what I understand, she's involved with this group, the Trans United for Obama. I've seen her name in association with that. And you know, they had a call.
But they're on quotes. There are not quotes. There's nothing in the Advocate. There's nothing in the gay press. There's nothing anywhere that's quoting the people that were strong advocates for transgender people or from transgender people, other than the pretty ones, like you so stated earlier. And even then, those aren't the people that have been involved for years in our activism. They're faces. They're the face. That's it.
Yeah.
We'll tell you what to say, and you just look pretty for us.
You know, and that's the thing, and I want to specify, before I go on, I want to say Lisa Moté has been incredible. She's been an incredible activist for our community. She's really accomplished a lot.
She has.
But you know, I do, you know, when I get, you know, she works for the task force, the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, and generally over the years I've had a pretty good image of them as an organization, but lately the stuff that I get from them, it's all marriage all the time, and it's like,
you know,
you don't even see them
promoting
that.
The executive director has her nose up, well, had her nose when Joyce Almanis was the executive director of HRC, which I know that just lately that has been exchanged, but she had her nose up his ass, you know, and she has her nose up their ass now. So Ray Carey she's been a huge fucking disappointment to me. Seriously, I've always supported the task force until actually I got to actually see her interact with Joe Salmanis, and I was like, "This is just crap, just crap." It's Coke and Pepsi. That's all they are. HRC and NGLTF, or the task force as they're called now, they're Coke and Pepsi. They're the same. They're the same gut-rotting soda. That's it. That's all you get. And those are your choices?
And that's where my problem is because it's all marriage all the time. And, you know, this is exactly the time when they should be focusing on employment rights. And I'll tell you, I think that if HRC or the task force wants to build credibility with trans folks, this is not the way to do it. This is just not the way to do it.
They don't care. Becky, they've just about said this out loud. They don't care. We don't have money. They don't care. You might as well just take that. They don't care. I stopped paying attention to anything they've had to say because they've just come. You're right. Their focus has been same-sex marriage all the time. Anything that comes out of the press, anything that they say, anything that they do, it's focused. That's all that they're focusing on. And you know what? It doesn't matter to them. The idea that, you're right, that if we gained employment, that we could somehow support them, that's generations away. They want the money now. The new executive director makes upwards now of $379,000 a year. What's his incentive to make anything change? What is that incentive? It's certainly not the promise of future employers, future employees, that somebody in the future is going to be employed when they can get millions of dollars from that 1% of our LGBT community. They don't care. They might as well spit in your face.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
They've made a business out of equality. They've made a business out of it. They've marketed it, and they've sold it. They've sold it to people just like Fox News has been sold to most of America. This is horrendous. It's hurting everybody in our community. And until we stand up and actually bitch about it instead of spending the time marching with the, oh, we're the 99%. How about the 99% of our LGBT community standing up and saying, we're done. We're done. We're done with this shit.
But see, that's the problem. It goes back to what I was talking about at the top of the show, which is it's only when we have the jobs and we have the money that we're going to be able to have that kind of an impact where we say, stand up and say no, and have politicians actually listen to what we're saying and saying, no, we don't prioritize marriage. Yes, we think it's important. No, we don't think it's the most important thing. And we're going to speak out against you and your agenda if you think that it is, because we need jobs. And I think it's only when we have, you know, that's the problem. In order to have the impact, we have to have the money. In order to have the money, you have to have the jobs. In order to get the jobs, you have to have the impact.
Keeping us from that, just like it's a microcosm of our society at large, where the government has done that for years, stopped people from having that voice by keeping the money out of the hands of the people that would have the most impact. Hell, we'd be united by now as a nation, black and white. But it's not that way. We still have huge issues with race, with religion, with blah blah blah. And it's, you know what? It's not the people that have kept this from uniting. It's our own freaking government and the media that has.
Totally. I
you
totally
think that
agree.
The government is not in charge of our media. Seriously, think about that.
Oh, yeah.
How better off are we than other countries?
Well I think also it's
the advent of the internet. We found out that we're worse off.
I think it has a lot. I think it has a lot to do with also they're totally in the pockets of big business, just like the Republicans. And I think part of what we're seeing
is driven by money, greed.
Right.
And money.
And the Republicans, just like the Democrats, well, you know, these organizations, they think, well, it's going to cost us money, so don't give them rights because they might actually sue us and maybe, you know, they might win, you know.
They might win.
No, I mean, seriously, they might actually win.
Look at the people in our community that have won big and can sit, you know, what happened to those people? Think about this. You know, think about the Library of Congress, just for a minute. What has happened to the people that have won lawsuits? Where are they now? Are they advocating on our behalf? Are they going and what are they doing right now?
No, they fade into the woodwork. Whatever happened to Diane Schroer? You know,
well, I don't think that might not be Diane's. You know, people are kept out of the media all the time. And maybe Diane's being kept out of the media. Maybe she's being kept from speaking on...
But that's my question, somebody holding a gun to her head? I don't get it. I mean, is the Human Rights Campaign coming and saying, you have to obey? You know, I mean, what exactly is going on there? By the way, I should tell you, we're almost out of time.
The fact of the matter is, it's organizations have actually tightened their circle. The people that used to have voices in our community no longer do, and organizations have made sure by befriending the people that write the articles, the people that are actually in the media and saying, oh, don't listen to them, listen to us.
Okay,
you know,
hey, Ethan,
the ones
I hate
that know.
I hate to do this to you, dude, but we're out of time.
Oh, all right.
we're actually running out. We are officially out of time.
as much as I want you to come back and we want to continue this.
But for tonight, we're out of time. I could talk to you about this all night, apparently. But.
Yes, and I know you could, and you're great at it, which is why I love having you on. But we got to get going. So I want to just remind people that if you missed anything, you can catch a full rerun of the show in about 5 minutes. Next week, I don't know who we're going to have on yet. I'll post about it on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. And I want to say thanks to everybody for tuning in. Thanks to Ethan St. Pierre. Thanks to the amazing Mr. Mike Scott, as always. And thank you to you for tuning in and supporting this media. We will catch you next week. Have a good night, everybody.